Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Ferrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Ferrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. Ferrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out of bad seat, a broken day, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad others, bad tape, bad lot, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad watch. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. I'm watching them just blow this lead. How are you up 15 at the end of three and then you just give it all away? Now, remember, they lost to the Bulls the other night, got their ass beat, and now they're playing them again in Chicago. And they got to get this win tonight. They have to finish the deal. They literally led the whole game. Literally start to finish, belly to belly, they were on top, basically, playing well. Both these teams, the Knicks are 9-13. The Bulls are 8-11. But, you know, the Bulls looked really good the other night. Tonight, the Bulls didn't even play for three quarters, getting their ass beat. They're doing nothing. Then they come alive, in the fourth. You see these runs, these NBA teams go on these runs. You're up 20. The next thing you know, you're down 10. It's insanity. And the bottom line is that the Knicks dominated this game on all facets, both ends of the floor. You got to close out the deal. Under three to go now. Randall's got 25. Elfrid Payton's got 20. He starts instead of Quickly, and everybody's been saying Quickly should start. They got to start IQ. They got to stop playing Payton. He sucks, blah, blah, blah. Then he goes out, Payton, 9 of 19, 20 points, 8 boards, 4 dimes. He had a really good game tonight. Barrett's got 17. It's a 5-point game right now. Toppin, 5. Rivers, 5. IQ's got 8. He did nothing tonight. 3 of 7 from the floor. He hit 2 threes. We'll talk later to Kurt Heelan of NBC Sports about the NBA coming up here in about 20 minutes. And I want to ask him about Quickly and what he thinks of him and Toppin. Because Thibodeau's saying he likes the way Toppin's been practicing and playing and the energy he gives him. We welcome in our radio affiliates. SiriusXM 204, the Sports Grid Radio Network now on satellite radio, kick ass. Also, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, Sports Map Radio, Sports Byline USA, Armed Forces Radio. Good to have you with us. I'm Ferrell on the bench with Mafia tonight. I'm watching the end of this Knicks-Bulls game, 106-99. Barrett with a J, brick. They're up 7, 1:20 and rolling left. Just close the deal. Oh, LaVine with a just vicious tomahawk dunk. A 5-point game again. He does whatever he wants as well. When that guy wants to play, forget about it. He just starts lighting it up. He's got 24 now in the game. Young's got 17. Valentine has 13. Williams, 12. Cody White's got 13 as well and 6 dimes. Knicks miss. They're up 5, 50 and rolling. I'm sitting here just tripping. I want to hit this bet. I had the Knicks +3, and I had them winning. And the brick three, Knicks get the rebound, now 35 and rolling. So I've been interested in this game because of my money, basically. Can't lose this game. And the other one that I've been interested in, I've got going on another channel, is St. John's and Villanova. Now, St. John's was favored by 9.5, or they were 9.5-point dogs, and they're playing at home. Nova was favored. St. John's, 17 minutes left, up 8. St. John's with the lead, up 8. Timeout in the Knicks game. And I want to just take a peek at this other game. 35-27, Nova with the pill. 17.5, just under that, left. So I'm loving life tonight. Tons of great games. We'll give you the scores and everything. Pitt beat Va Tech tonight. Missouri beat Kentucky. We got a lot of action going on here. I'm losing weight. 844-843-6879 to get on the bench.
As you continue listening to Sports Grid, ask yourself
and be honest,
am I listening
enough?
Probably not.
16 hours a day.
That's all we ask. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
So the Knicks turn the ball over on an inbounds play, and then the Bulls try a three, White in the corner misses, but Levine tips it in. Still, Knicks by three, and there's .3 left on the clock, and a foul. IQ will go to the line. They're up three, and this game's over. The Knicks are going to win. There's no way they can score. Or hit a three with .3 left when they don't have the ball. So he's going to the line right now to hit these free throws, or one of them, or maybe none of them. Even if it's none of them, they're not losing this game. He hit the 1-4. That's game over. What a bet. What a hit. I love that. Tibbs goes back to Chicago and steals one. Otherwise, they would have lost both games in the Windy City. But they win. And he misses the second, but that's it. 107-103, Knicks win. And that was just a beautiful bet as far as I'm concerned. I love that action. All right, so elsewhere, the Wizards and Heat. Did I not call that today on Coast to Coast? They said both of these teams suck. It's amazing to me that they the Heat have fallen on their face. They go to the NBA Finals. They obliterate everyone in the East. They lose to the Lakers in the finals. They brag about how they're going to be back, and they came back all right, missing their basketball shoes. I mean, they are terrible this year. I don't understand it. I know they've had injuries. Jimmy was out. Everybody's got injuries. But now 99-98 Wizards, 2:42 left. I said today it'd be a great game because they both suck. It's always my theory. Just like this Bulls-Knick game, you get two lousy teams together, it's usually a good game. The Timberwolves are kicking the Spurs' ass right now, 11 minutes left, 94-79, so I don't see how they blow that. The Pelicans lead the Suns 30-27, 9 left in the second, and the Celtics-Kings are underway out at Golden 1 in Sacktown, 6-4 Celtics. As far as finals go, Sixers by 7 over the Hornets. That was another great bet. I had the Hornets in 7.5. Cover! And the Sixers to win on the money line. Cover! Bucks blow out the Pacers 130-110. I have to tell you, I was watching that game, like the first half of that game and a little bit of the third quarter. And, I mean, it was, all right, fair enough. Full domination by the Bucks. That's great. Congratulations. But that was, honestly, it was the worst game that I've seen in a while. It was so boring. It really was because the Pacers didn't show up. They got their ass beat. They were going through the motions. They were walking up the court. They were lifeless, and the Bucks were just kicking their ass and running it up, doing whatever they wanted, you know, particularly Giannis. Anyway, he had 21 and 14, the double-double. And then Portis had 18, DiVincenzo 16, Middleton 12, Lopez and Holiday 11 apiece. How about Forbes? 20 points for Forbes, including 4 3-pointers. They shot 43% from downtown. And as far as anything else goes, Sabonis had 33, and he was the only one that did anything, because, and he stood around too. He always had the ball at the top of the key, and nobody was guarding him, and he was jacking shots. He hit 3 threes. He had 33, 12, and 6. Sabonis is a badass. There's no doubt about it. Holiday had 15. Of course, Justin Holiday and his other brother Aaron play on the Pacers. Turner, though, a rough game for Turner. 3 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist. And he's talking about being the defensive player of the year and stealing it from Giannis. And he goes out and lays an egg like that. I mean, are you kidding me? Brogdon was dead. 12 points, 5 of 17 from the floor. He hit 2 threes. They were terrible. And they shot 32% from 3, and that was that. Mavericks finally win a game. They go to Atlanta and beat the lowly Hawks. And I mean it. The Hawks are so bad. You know, they win a game here and there, but overall they're still the Hawks, which is losing. 122-112 was the final there. I want to see what some of the Mavs did in this game. Luka had 27, 8, and 14 dimes. Porzingis, 24 points, including 11 rebounds, 10 of 20 from the floor. Hardaway had 22. Richardson, 14. Finney-Smith, 13. Brunson added 12. Dallas snaps their skid. On the other side, Collins, 35 points. Trae Young, 21. Herter had 21 as well. Danilo Gallinari, 19 spot and a couple threes, but the Hawks lose. Clippers beat the Cavs. I told you they would. 121-99 on Coast to Coast today. I laid the 9. They covered. They blow out the Cavs in Cleveland after losing to the Nets the night before. Paul George had 36, including 8 of 9 from 3. Kawhi had 24. He hit 3 threes. They shot 58% from downtown, 20 of 34. That is crazy. 55% for the game. Meanwhile, the Cavs stunk it up. Sexton had 27, Garland 23, and that was it for them. And then I gave you that. I gave you the Thunder as well, winning, getting 6.5 at home over the Rockets. They win it outright, 104-87. Oak City getting involved. Let's see who did it for the Thunder. Baisley had 18, Horford 17, Diallo 16, Roby 13, Williams had 19. They shot poor from downtown, but bottom line is Houston shot worse. From downtown, Thunder 30%, and the Rockets 26%, 38% overall for the Rockets in the game. Gordon had 22. Everybody else was awful. How about Tucker played 25 minutes, had no points? You think he's quit on the Rockets? 25 minutes, no points. He took 2 shots. What is going on there with Tucker? Like, Mr. Doesn't he jack threes every game? He shot 1 3 in the game. That was it. Played 25 minutes, did nothing. Oladipo had 19. Boogie had 10, 5, and 1. Brown had 11, 6, and 3. But the Thunder beat him. So there you go. That's solid. I want to see if St. John's can hold on. 45-36. They lead Nova. And they were getting 9.5. Virginia's up on NC State, 43-36. 12 minutes left there. I gave you Creighton to win. Georgetown plus 14 at the half. They're starting the second half, 44-39. Hoyas. I gave you SMU minus one. They're up four with 17 minutes left. And I gave you Oklahoma State. They're down three to TCU. That's going to the wire. 15 minutes left there. One of the best plays I gave you today, I gave you a sharp play on Fordham getting 14. It moved to 10 at UMass. I gave you UMass to win, Fordham plus 14. UMass wins it by six, so the double cover. South Carolina won at Gainesville, 72-66. Over the Gators, Bama by 18 over LSU. I gave you LaSalle plus 11 over St. Louis, 82-75 LaSalle. Seton Hall, Mafia's Pirates, blowout Providence, 60-43. VCU won at Rhode Island, 63-62. I was getting 1.5 in that Rhode Island game, though, so that's a cover. VMI in overtime beat Wofford by 4. Fail.
So many sports, so many memories, so many players, so many teams, so many great matchups, so many possibilities.
Now, are you really going to pass all that up?
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, Pharrell on the bench with you. Kurt Heelan's our buddy from NBC Sports, and we wanted to talk NBA rack with Mr. Heelan this evening. How you been, pal?
I've been doing all right. How you holding up?
I can't complain. I wanted to talk to you tonight. I've been watching the Knicks beat the Bulls tonight, and I just kind of wanted to start there. I wanted to get your opinion of IQ quickly is establishing himself in New York. People are getting excited about him. There's a lot of people saying he should start over Payton. Payton had a really good game tonight, though. He went after it hard. He scored a lot. He got a lot of rebounds, made a lot of big plays and passes. He had his best game, I think. And I think it's because he's been getting a lot of heat that he's, you know, terrible compared to this rookie out of Kentucky. I mean, Elfrid Payton's a mess, let's face it. His shot, you can't count on him to do anything. Honestly, like night to night, he's a disaster. But he has his moments, and tonight he had his best game. What do you think of – I don't really care who starts. I really don't. He's a rookie, fair enough. If you start him, go ahead. If you don't, who cares? But what do you think of his game? I love his little floater. I think he's got the nicest floater that I've seen in the league in a while, a guy that can, you know, hit the shot on the move, floating and running.
Right. Another Kentucky kid, right? If I'm remembering this right.
Like, that's right.
You know what's amazing about them? They do this with Kentucky every year. Miami's been the king of it. Tyler Hero comes out and we're thinking, man, he's just a shooter. He's one-dimensional. What the heck is that guy going to do? It turns out Tyler Hero's good, man. Can do a lot of stuff. Bam Adebayo is the same way. Every year there's these guys who come out of Kentucky and they're so loaded with talent. And Calipari has them playing in a box within the system, right? Like, hey, you're the point guard. You are going to play this way. And then quickly gets to the NBA and is like, dude, I can do all this other stuff. And every year we're like, wow, I can't believe these guys can do all this stuff. Kentucky, like, if you're drafting down the board and getting a Kentucky guy, you end up getting way more than you thought you were. It happens every year. And this is another example of it. I'm with you. Like, start him, don't start him, whatever. You've got to start giving him more run and more critical minutes run because ultimately that's how he grows. There's going to be some hard lessons along the way. Because he's a rookie. That's just how it goes. But that's how he gets better at this point. Just start up in the minutes, not, you know, make sure he's in condition, make sure he's learning lessons. But you're going to have to let him play through some mistakes, and hopefully Thibodeau will do that a little bit. It's not his nature, but I think he realizes with quickly, like, he's the point guard of the future, it looks like. And the only way you're really going to find out is to just give him a lot of run. And you should be excited. I mean, you're trying to find foundational pieces that can either be with the Knicks for a decade or more like the Lakers, right? Like, hey, we got Lonzo Ball, we got Brandon Ingram, hey, we can flip those guys into something, you know, else. Whatever ends up happening long term, you need those kind of players.
Listen, he is playing about 20 minutes a game. He's averaging 12-6. He had 9-1 in one tonight. He really didn't have it tonight. It is what it is. But 12-6 a game, 2.4 boards, 2.8 dimes, and he's doing it in 19 minutes. He's not even at 20 minutes. They're keeping him just under 20 minutes a game. I think the kid, 6'3", 180, soaking wet. I think he's been fantastic. Now I want to ask you about. I want to ask you about Obi Toppin. Now Thibodeau has said that I heard him tonight, word for word. He said, "I love his energy. I love the way he practices. I love the way he works. I love his attitude. He could do a lot of things on the floor. He can, come off screens. He can shoot. He can run. He can handle the rock and all this other stuff." Well, that's fantastic that he's given him such a ringing endorsement, because there hasn't been a Knick fan yet to see any of that. We haven't seen any of that. I don't know what he's talking about. Like, it must be at closed practices, because I love Obi as the player of the year in college at Dayton, but I do not like the pro version of him. I think he's been terrible. And I know he missed 10 games with a calf, but I think he's been terrible.
Yeah, well, there's been flashes of what he can do, but you haven't really seen it night in and night out consistently. And you know what's concerning for me about him is he's older. He spent, I believe, the full 4 years at Dayton, but he's older than most of the guys from that draft class. This isn't a 19-year-old who won and done it or two. Like, he was at Dayton for a while. Yeah, he's a full 22. He's deeper along the curve than the other guys. So if he's a little behind now, that's not ideal. I still think he's going to be a solid rotational player at least. He's got too much athletic skill and just is too. We saw him in college. The guy can score the ball. We're just not seeing it yet. He's just not comfortable in the NBA environment. He's got to get there. I think he's going to be solid, but he might not be. He just may not develop as much as we'd hoped.
Yeah, I'll tell you this much. I love his size, and he's about 6'10", 215. He's going to get stronger, bigger. I hope it doesn't screw up his athleticism, but I want to see him evolve. I cannot believe that he's averaging 4 points in his rookie year, and then this kid quickly is averaging 12 and doing all kinds of exciting things. And Obi gets in. He looks like he's a mess in their offense. Like, he's all over the place. He's like a chicken running around with his head cut off. Let me ask you about what you think of the Nets. Last night, that win, I took the Nets last night over the Clippers. They were getting points in Brooklyn, and we already know what they can do offensively. Since they got Harden, they're dropping, $130, $140 a game. It really is crazy. But defensively, that was the first time I saw them play even 5 seconds of defense since Harden arrived.
Yep. Yeah, their defense overall last night was not, and I wrote about this morning, at NBC, like, it wasn't good. The numbers, they still gave up a 120 offensive rating to the Clippers last night. By the way, the Clippers are really good offense. Like, they do that to a lot of teams. But they got enough stops down the stretch. They made enough plays. Like you said, that was the hardest I've seen them play on defense. I thought Kevin Durant did. It's really hard to guard Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, man. They're good for a reason. Right. Kawhi Leonard is he's so strong. He just gets to that spot, and you cannot stop him. But I thought Durant did as well as you could expect or hope on him. They got enough stops down the stretch, and that's all they need. Their defense, because the offense is so elite and is frankly just designed to be this elite in the playoffs, it's going to be really hard to stop them. It's not like Utah with their system offense where you're like, man, yeah, but if you're going to get them in the playoffs, they're going to be in trouble. That's not how they're built, man. With all those guys being able to create and then working more off each other, they're going to be fine. You just have to get enough stops. They did last night, and if they can build on that, and then, frankly, the other thing they're starting to do is play small, right? You're going to see Green more at center. They look just so much better when they're small. Like, just, you're giving up a little rim protection maybe, but and DeAndre Jordan sets a nice pick because he's just big and smart that way. But at the end of the day, you're going to get plenty of rebounds with Kevin Durant and James Harden and those guys on the floor. Like, you've got big, long, strong guys out there. You're going to be fine. I thought they flowed so much better small, and they're going to that more now.
Look, I got to tell you, it's must-see TV watching them.
Oh, yeah, they're so fun.
Right. I mean, I think Harden's looked fantastic in Brooklyn, and I think he's made people said he couldn't. There's no way Kyrie and Harden can exist together on the floor at the same time, and that's a bunch of BS. But let me say this about Kawhi Leonard. Literally, and I can't believe from his days at San Diego State to, let's say, 3-4 years ago, you know, let's say in Toronto and then into L.A., what he's become. Like, he, like, his, I mean, he always could play. He could play in San Antonio. But I've never seen him be in a position where he literally now is unstoppable. You cannot guard him. You cannot stop him. And it doesn't matter that Kevin Durant has arm plane wings, you know, with his reach. He stood out there with his hand in his face, and it doesn't matter. He sticks shots right in Durant's face. No one can guard him. I don't care what team they're playing. It is truly remarkable what he's turned into.
Yeah, he is really, I mean, he always had the physical skills, but the confidence and the ability to play within himself. Too many guys are trying, you know, I think Trae Young gets a little caught up in this, man. Like, I'm Trae Young. Time for another 30-footer. And you get, Kawhi knows what he can do. And he knows where his spots on the floor are. And good luck keeping him from him. And, like, if he gets the ball at the elbow, you're right, Kevin Durant's going to be on him. Doesn't matter. Like, he's going to get that shot off. He's going to go through you or around you or over you. And his playmaking's a little bit better. He and Paul George are working a little better off each other. I think the Clippers have looked, they didn't win last night, but they have looked more and more like a team that's starting to figure out. I'll tell you my big takeaway from them last night, and I know that they're looking at this. They still need, on the roster, even though the guy will play limited minutes, they need a traditional pass-first point guard to get them into sets late in games, so it's not just isolation. They're a little bit predictable. Somebody who could come in and run the offense for them in the half court would make them leaps and bounds better. And they, you know, we'll see. That's certainly aggressive front office, and the owner's capable of paying, Scott. So,
yeah, there's no doubt. I'll say this: tonight they shot 58% from downtown, and George hit 8 of 9 from three. When we come back, we'll talk about a lot of other stuff going on in the NBA in terms of games tonight and some players that have been going off lately, like D-Book the other night. You go back to Saturday night, Dame Time doing it again, Dagger City hitting game-winning bombs, hitting 2 threes in the last few seconds to win that game. And we'll talk about the Sixers if Kurt believes they're as good as their record. They won again tonight in Charlotte. It's Pharrell on a Bench.
There's only ever been one thing in your life that's been there for you. It's meant memories, family, friends.
And yeah, we'll say it.
Fun. Welcome to your home for talking sports. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, Pharrell on a Bench, 844-843-6879 to get on the bench. We're talking to Kurt Helin of NBC. So I know you heard me mention D-Book and Dame Time with those daggers they hit in the last few days. I love, honestly, like I said this last night on the show, that the guy that gets absolutely no juice whatsoever in terms of, I think he's turning into a great player, and no one ever talks about him. I mean, they literally talk about Zion Williamson all day long. You know, they talk about very few players get the kind of juice that, you know, it's LeBron's world. Everyone else is living in it. And then, you know, my point is this, is that DeAndre Ayton, I think, is turning into a badass. And I think the guy goes completely unnoticed. You think he was a ghost the way he plays and dominates and dunks and swats shots and gets rebounds and plays within himself with CP3 and with D-Book. That is a really good player, and I think he's only going to get better. It's crazy watching that guy turn into something, and no one ever talks about him. It's like the guy sucks.
No, because we don't talk about centers much anymore. It's part of it, right? And part of it is that, look, he had a lot of injuries. He had some real defensive issues the first couple of years. It took him a while to adjust to the NBA, but A, he's been healthy this year. And B, when they signed Chris Paul, you know, got Chris Paul, I was like, you know what? It's good for Devin Booker. Don't get me wrong. But it's better for DeAndre Ayton because nobody makes their centers look. I mean, DeAndre Jordan never looked better than when Chris Paul was lobbing it to him. He knows how to set guys up, and you're starting to see Ayton's athleticism is just through the roof. Now he's starting to figure out how to use it on a court, and Chris Paul is putting in much better spots to use it, and he's taking advantage of it. And that's a fun team down in Phoenix. That's a pretty darn good little team down in Phoenix as well. They are making plays. By the way, speaking of Chris Paul, that Devin Booker game winner, man, that's a Chris Paul special. They ran that for J.J. Redick all the time with the Clippers. They ran that play all the time. Devin Booker just executed it beautifully.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I noticed that. I'll tell you what, the other piece on that team that makes them good, I think, is Crowder. You add Crowder to the mix. Ayton's, he's got 9-8 tonight already at halftime, Ayton. And then CP3, you know, what he's been doing for them is just, you knew it was coming. I mean, it was inevitable that he was going to take over that team and make them better. And Booker's just such a stud to begin with. I like Monty, what he's doing with this team. I think they're a lot of fun. What did you think of Dame's performance the other night with the back-to-back daggers to win that game? And then what he's doing without CJ, McCollum, and Nurkic?
That's been the amazing thing. There is so much weight on his shoulders right now. And, hey, to be fair, Anthony Simmons has stepped up. They've had some guys have some games. But their second and third best player, in whatever order you want to put them, are gone. Guys who are critical to them, and they're going to have to score a lot on offense. And just the load on Lillard's shoulders got so intense, and he's handled it. When this all happened, I said they've just got to keep their head above water for a month. And they were, as of this morning, before today, they're 3-4 in the games with those two guys out. That's holding your own. That is hanging in there until you get your stars back. And Lillard's the guy doing it. He's going to get, again, he's not going to win MVP, but he deserves consideration for the bottom part of that ballot because he's playing that well again.
And I think Gary Trent's a badass, and he's picked it up for McCollum. And then I think Kanter has taken those minutes. He played 36 minutes last night when they put up a buck 32 on the Wizards, and Lillard had 32, Kanter had 14 and 15 boards. I mean, Kanter's just a rough guy. I mean, he is a hard guy to move around in that paint. I love his game. It's kind of sneaky good. He's picked up the pace for Nurkic breaking his wrist. I think Kanter's been unbelievable. And like I said, Trent, he can shoot.
Yeah. No, look, there's a lot of teams that have their eye on Gary Trent Jr. and would love to get what he brings. Kanter is really great in the regular season. He becomes a problem in the postseason when you can really hone in and target his pick-and-roll defense. But by that point, you'll have Nurkic back. And actually, they'll have Zach Collins. We kind of forget he's been out as well through this season. But in the regular season, when you can go, he is such a beast on offense, and he's so good on the offensive glass. And too many teams kind of like, all right, we're going to grab the rebound and turn around. And so many teams have done Popovich led this with the Spurs. Teams they don't worry about the offensive glass. Get back on defense. Stop the transition. That's where the points are. You got to stop it. If one guy goes and just crashes the board, his offensive glass, and is really good at it, like Kanter, it just throws the other team off. They're not used to dealing with it the same way, and he causes a lot of problems. He's just disruptive, and like you said, he's very physical.
What do you think of the Warriors without Klay in that lineup and the job they've done with just kind of, you know, Curry going off? He had 38 last night. They lost that game by 4 to the Celtics. But what do you think of that group? I know Looney, you know, twisted his ankle, but Green, Looney, Wiggins, Curry, Oubre, and Bazemore is essentially their mix. What do you think of the job Kerr's doing with his team without Klay?
I think they're doing as well as can be it could be expected for this roster. There's, I think the importance of Draymond Green to this team really showed up this year. Like, they looked lost those games when Draymond was out. He came in and really, just as a secondary play creator, getting guys in the right spot on offense and defense, really makes them better. Curry has been Curry. He has been, he's back to being healthy. He's been phenomenal. It's just, the problem is, outside of Curry, and especially when Draymond's not out there, Curry still, he's still got gravity, man. He still draws defender. He still warps the defense. It's just that James Wiseman and Andrew Wiggins didn't know what to do with the space like veterans like Iguodala and Sean Livingston and all these guys they used to have did, let alone, you know, Clay and Durant and all those guys. So they're starting to adjust. They're getting better, I think. Now, they're a little challenged, by the way, right now, because, I mean, they lost Marquise Chris for the season early on. They're now without Wiggins because of a wrist, and Looney sprained his ankle, and he's out 2 weeks. They don't have their tallest guy in the roster now, 6'7", Andrew Wiggins. They're playing super small for a couple of weeks. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, and Wiseman is out. What do you think of the job that Harris is doing in that Sixer lineup? Because ever since he went there, right, he's never really done anything in Philly, and then this year he's kind of exploded. He had 26 tonight, and you know, you get JoJo with 34 and Simmons with 15, 6, and 9, and Rivers said he doesn't think they're where they want to be yet, but they've had a pretty good start in Philly.
They absolutely have, and I love the way Doc is using them right now. He is, you know, they're actually, but before tonight, they were plus 14.9 per 100 when Simmons and Embiid were on the court together. They've been playing together great this season, and they've got Simmons in a role now where, hey, man, you're not creating in the half court. Don't worry about it. Create in transition, move the ball, use your length, use your assist. They're putting him in positions better to succeed. I think Doc has done a really good job of that, and with that, he's done two things. He said, Joel, your show, your team, go get it. And Joel has responded with an MVP-level season. And the other part of it is they put Tobias Harris can go get you buckets, man. Tobias Harris knows how to score, and they're letting him do that. And, you know, the other night against the Lakers when they beat him and Tobias Harris had the game winner, that was what happened. They put the ball in Tobias Harris's hands. He got the switch. You know, Alex Caruso, everybody loves Alex Caruso. He's just gritty. He plays hard. He plays smart.
Right.
He gives up 4 inches in athleticism. He's not stopping Tobias Harris. Tobias Harris is just playing like Doc knows how to use him and put him in positions where he's just playing to his strengths. And I really like what they've got in Philly. I mean, knock on wood, everybody there stays healthy. But that's an interesting and dangerous team. And the shooting, adding, you know, Danny Green and particularly Seth Curry just really helps their cause.
I'll tell you what, you talk about Caruso. I think he, you know, plays harder than anyone on that team.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he plays harder than Kuzma, and I think he does more than Kuzma. I don't deny Kuzma has talent, and I don't deny that he can have, you know, moments, but in their run last year in the playoffs and in the finals, I didn't think Kuzma was that effective, but Caruso really was. They love him. Do you think he gives them better burn than Kuzma?
I think so. Especially during the regular season, but like you said, he not only outworks everybody, which is, you need that kind of guy on the team. You need the guy who's just busts it every night. And also, by the way, I'll just say this about him. Bust it in practice. You need the guys who make everybody kind of take note in practice and go hard and not coast. And that doesn't happen. You know, you pick your spots a little with LeBron, but you always need that kind of, you need the dog in practice. Caruso's that guy, and I think he brings more than Kuzma pretty much every night. I look, 29 other teams would love to have Caruso on that roster because you can't replicate that kind of energy and smart play. And by the way, sneaky more athletic than you think he is. He looks like the guy you'd pick third or fourth in your YMCA pickup game.
Right.
Like even when you're standing next to him I'm standing next to him in a locker room thinking, nah, is he really this guy? But that can jump out of the damn building.
Right. He can dunk, run, jump. He's got speed, the whole deal. It's really incredible. How do you think, and you know, I'm short on time. I got about a minute and a half. What do you think of the Mavericks, the wall they hit? And then they won tonight in Atlanta, but boy, they played some bad basketball for a stretch there when they lost the six in a row. What's wrong with that team?
It's kind of a mess on both ends a little bit, but I think that they really missed Seth Curry. They missed that shooting. They went to Josh Richardson for the defense. The defense hasn't gotten considerably better. Their offense is really clunky right now. And there's some of the steadying influences, like Seth Curry shooting to space the floor, or J.J. Barea off the bench, just a veteran point guard to settle them down, is gone. Doncic can get in his own head a little bit sometimes, and they're just – it's learning. Look, they're better than their record. They've been decimated by COVID. They'll be better than they've been, especially as they get some rhythm. But they've dug themselves a hole, and I'm not sure that they've quite got the roster around – for these guys that they need. And by the way, you'll probably agree with me this. I love Porzingis. Porzingis is fine, but I think he's a number three, not a number two, and I think they need to go get a number two.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and I think that it's the same thing. Like, you know, what they need is almost like what the Nets need. The Nets have to get another big besides Jordan with his lob dunks. They have to have someone that can protect that rim and get rebounds. Kurt, always great talking NBA rack with you and catching up, my man. I appreciate you coming on the bench tonight, brother. Be good.
It was great talking to you. Take care, Scott. Be safe.
All right, Kurt Heelan of NBC Sports with us. We always like hooking up with Kurt and talking some NBA rack. St. John's is going to upset Villanova tonight, 65-54 with 40 seconds left. They're playing at their little Carneseca den, and nothing but problems for Jay Wright's Nova Cats tonight, going down to the Johnnies. Pharrell on the bench. I'm just watching the Pelicans up 8 on the Suns right now. The guy I got my eye on just for the last couple minutes was Steven Adams. He's such a badass. I mean, what an immovable force. He just absolutely is a monster in the block. And he's so physical. And he got a loose ball under the basket, beyond the glass, toward the baseline, you know, out of bounds. And he grabbed it, and he just threw backwards his entire body and got under the rim, and everybody just bounced off of him, and then he put it in, and the and one. The guy is, I think he's so good. I think he's a winner. He was in Oak City forever. I can't believe they dealt him, because he's such an impact guy and such a, you know, strong, dominant, big, cleaning the glass, finishing, swatting shots. He, you know, I seen the guy play with, you know, literally multitude of injuries, playing with injuries. Like, I mean, last year, I think in that bubble, they made it, right? He was literally, it was like he was crippled playing in those games. And I think that's what did them in, is that they rely so much on Ingram and Zion to do everything. And what they really needed at the time was, I think, more productivity from everybody else, particularly Adams. If you don't have Adams out there giving you, you know, 12 to 15 points and, you know, 12 rebounds, that's what, I mean, he's good for all of that. The guy's a absolute freak. And I'm watching him tonight. Same thing. The guy's doing his normal, goes out, pro, gets it done. He's not a crybaby. You can hack him. You could chop his head off, and the guy would just go right to the line and shoot his free throws. He doesn't get in fights. No one messes with him because they're all afraid of him. I think they're afraid he's going to pull out some of that Kiwi magic on him. Going to hour number two on the bench.